Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's March 24, 2015, and this is episode 464. Following on from my first impressions review of the Canon EOS 7D Mark II, today we're going to dive in a little deeper and see how this new offering fared during my Winter Wonderland tours here in Japan over the last few months. Although I'll touch on some of these areas again today, I ran through many of the great new features in that earlier First Impressions podcast, which was number 453, so you can find that post at mbp.ac/453, so check that out as well to hear more about what's new. One of my many objectives while shooting through January and February was to really try to pull out the most of the autofocus because, as we heard in that first review, I was not really impressed with how well the camera handles subjects coming towards the camera. Another thing that we'd not looked at yet was the ISO performance of the 7D Mark II, so I've done some more tests and have got some information regarding that to share with you as well today. Okay, so the first thing that I'd like to get to is really somewhat subjective but very important, as I know that some people have not been happy with the 7D Mark II, especially because of the autofocus capabilities in certain situations. Well, if you ask me if I'm in general happy with this new camera, the answer is a resounding yes. It's not perfect, and we'll get to that shortly, but I'm absolutely happy with my 7D Mark II. It's a very worthwhile addition to my kit. I mentioned in that first review that I might even consider selling my 1DX. Is that still the case? Well, no, not really. Why? Because the 7D Mark II starts to get a little bit noisy as you push up the ISO, and I have some images that I simply could not have gotten without the 1DX, so it stays for now. However, I have to say that I'll probably be revising this decision as I actually work through the rest of the year, based on just how much I really use the 1DX now that I have the 7D Mark II. During my Winter Wonderland tours and workshops, I was using the 1DX basically as my second camera most of the time. After deletions, during my initial run through my images, I see that from January 26 to February 26, I shot 18,931 images with the 7D Mark II, and I shot just 1,565 with my 1DX. That's less than 10% of my images for this time period. Part of that was because I really wanted to see how well the 7D Mark II performed. And sometimes, even though I would have preferred not to have had the crop factor for a wider field of view, I stuck with the 7D Mark II for test purposes. Most of the time, though, I just loved having that crop factor for my wildlife work, and the extra 2 megapixels that the 7D Mark II has are also very welcome. I found the new Intelligent Viewfinder 2 a pleasure to work with, and although the 1DX is still a great camera, I just found things like having the digital level right there in the viewfinder all of the time very useful. It's also great to be able to see at a glance things like what shooting mode I'm in, as well as other information that you can now display right there in the viewfinder. Another thing that I really like is the wider autofocus point coverage. You can see this and all of the other information in a screenshot, from the manual, the user's manual, but you can see this on the blog, and this and the other test shots we'll be looking at today are at mbp.ac/464, so go over to the blog and take a look if you're not already there. You'll be able to see though that the AF points, all 65 of them, they cover such a large area of the frame, it's so much better. The 1DX seems to have all of its 61 AF points scrunched up in the middle of the frame, whereas the 7D Mark II's AF points almost fill it. Especially for birds in flight, this gives us much more freedom as to where in the frame we place the subject and still be able to track it with our autofocus. Although the 7D Mark II does have AF points across a wide area of the frame, it did take me quite some time to really get the most out of the AI servo tracking capability, and I mentioned the problems that I was having in my earlier first impressions review. As I've shot more with this camera and continue to tweak my settings, I have greatly increased my success to fail ratio for subjects moving towards the camera, which were initially the most problematic. Although I tried lots of combinations as I tested my camera, my tracking sensitivity, acceleration and deceleration tracking, and AF point auto switching settings ended up going back to pretty much what I've always used with the 1DX. As you can see in the photograph of my settings on the blog, I added these three settings to my menu, or you know, my menu on the camera for easy access, and I changed these settings a lot over the two tours, trying to find my optimal settings. For both snow monkeys running towards me and birds in flight, both subjects moving erratically, I found that these settings work the best. I have tracking sensitivity set to -2, acceleration deceleration tracking set to 1, and the AF point auto switching, I've been moving between 0 and 1 depending on the subject, and depending on how accurately it's working in any given situation. With erratically moving subjects, it's important for the AF points to switch around quickly, so it's tempting to increase the AF point auto switching sensitivity. But as you increase the sensitivity, the focus often switches to an unwanted part of the scene too readily. So I found myself with AF point auto switching to 0 most of the time. This, as I say, is pretty much how I use my 1DX. As you can see in this stitch of 6 frames of a snow monkey coming down a snowbank towards me, screen captured in Canon's Digital Photo Professional with the AF points displayed, the autofocus stayed with the face of the monkey for 5 of the 6 frames. Click on this to view larger so that you can see the active focus points, but you'll see pretty much that it stays except for the one frame where it jumps for the back for some reason. This level of accuracy is what I was hoping for and was finally able to draw out of the 7D Mark II. I still get the feeling that the overall success rate for this kind of AI servo shooting isn't quite up to the levels that I get with the 1DX. But without shooting exactly the same subject at exactly the same moment with both cameras simultaneously, it's really hard to quantify that. Okay, so let's move on and take a look at the image quality and ISO performance. As I've done in previous reviews of the 1DX and the 5D Mark III, for these ISO performance tests, I simply set up a shot with some light and shade areas and shot a series of images going through the entire range of ISO on the 7D Mark II in full stops. And I've compared that with the 1DX. There is no ISO 50 on the 7D Mark II, so I started at ISO 100 on both cameras. The maximum ISO you can set on the 7D Mark II is 512,000, but the 1DX goes up to 204,800, so I included these last two ISOs for the 1DX as well for comparison. I used a 100mm macro lens for the tests and set the camera's aperture to f10. Note that because of the 7D Mark II's crop factor, I did have to move the camera to try to frame both sets of images similarly, but they're not identical and they don't really need to be able to appreciate the results. First up, here is a gallery of 22 images resized to 1440 pixels, 1440 pixels wide, so that you can get a feel for the downsized image quality at the entire ISO range. You'll have to go over to the blog to see this if you're not already there, but click on the images, and then once you're in there, you can move back and forth with your mouse or with the keyboard keys. And basically, each image has a label below the image, which will tell you what the camera was and the ISO that it was shot with. Don't forget to open your browser wide as well, so that you can see the images at the full size. If you have your browser set at roughly the same width as the text, it will automatically downsize the image for you in the browser. So open your browser up quite wide so that you can see the full-sized image. Looking at the results, I'm sure you'll agree that if you are shooting for web or relatively low-resolution presentation, then on the 7D Mark II, even up to 12,800 ISO is perfectly acceptable. And if you're okay with a bit of noise, even up to 51,200 ISO is pretty good. Here is another gallery of images, this time 100% crops of the black cat and the shadow from the zebra. This gives us a good comparison of the noise levels in both the lighter areas and the shadows, where noise is generally more obvious. Click on the images again on the blog and take a look at the noise in each image as you click through them. And do take a moment to compare even the first pair of images at ISO 100. The first thing that I noticed confirmed what I had started to think about the images from the 7D Mark II based on my shooting in the field over the last few months. Basically, the 7D Mark II produces lower quality images than the 1DX, even at the lowest ISO settings. From ISO 100, you can see grain in the 7D Mark II images, although this doesn't really start to show and become visible in the 1DX images until you hit around ISO 400. Now, let's not take this information out of context here. We have to keep in mind that the older brother 1DX is 3.5 times the price and is a full-frame sensor camera. Because of the crop factor and the higher resolution, the 7D Mark II's pixels are smaller at 4.1 micrometers, compared to the almost 1.7 times larger 6.95 micrometer pixels on the 1DX. There's no getting around this, as you simply have to cram more pixels onto the sensor to achieve the resolution of the 7D Mark II. Like everything else, it's a trade-off. Two reasons that I've been using the 7D Mark II over the 1DX is because of the crop factor, which works in our favor for some wildlife photography, and the higher resolution, which is always nice to have if it doesn't come at too much of a drop in image quality. And that is the most important thing to bear in mind here. Yes, the 7D Mark II produces slightly lower quality images than the 1DX, but do I consider it to be a problem? Absolutely not. I'll continue to use the 7D Mark II for the benefits that it brings to my photography, and at the end of the day, the image quality is still off the charts if you don't compare it to a much more expensive full-frame sensor counterpart. Now, back to the ISO performance comparison. To me, it looks like the two stops of performance that start right down at ISO 100 compared to ISO 400 on the 1DX holds pretty much through the entire ISO range. I've posted a third gallery of images, but they're basically the same images from the second gallery, the 100% crops. But this time I've ordered them with the ISO 100 from the 7D Mark II next to two stops higher ISOs from the 1DX. So we start at ISO 100 versus 400, and then 200 versus 800, and so on. As we get into the higher ISOs, the shadow noise from the 1DX increases compared to two stops lower ISO on the 7D Mark II, but the brighter areas, such as the cat's face, hold out much better on the 1DX. So if we bear this in mind, I'd say that I'm thinking that the 1DX has about two stops better ISO performance than the 7D Mark II. If you recall back to my 5D Mark III review, I found that the 5D Mark III had about one stop lower ISO performance than the 1DX, so it's right in the middle of these two cameras. With all of my cameras, I like to decide on a ceiling to which I'll take the ISO based on tests like these and real-world use cases in the field. With my 1DX, this has in practice been ISO 12,800. I have images from the field at this ISO that I'm very happy to have been able to shoot, and the image quality is there. With the 7D Mark II, I've happily gone up to ISO 3200 in the field, and based on these tests, will probably go up to 6400 if I need to. Before you jump on your keyboard and start to write me that I'm crazy or that you don't think that this level of performance, you don't see this level of performance from your camera, take a moment to consider that I always expose to the right, a technique known as ETTR. I'm not going to delve into this today, but basically, because I expose my images so that the information on the histogram is just about touching the right shoulder, I get better ISO performance from my camera than you will say if you trust the camera's meter and you have a large gap on the right side of your histogram. There's simply less noise if you expose to the right, even if that means increasing your ISO a few stops to achieve a brighter exposure. If you want to see more information on this, go to mbp.ac/381 and there's a whole post on this there. Okay, so let's wrap this up now with my final verdict on the Canon EOS 7D Mark II. The autofocus doesn't feel quite as snappy as the 1DX for subjects advancing towards me, although it's now very acceptable, and the image quality is not quite as good by comparison, but still exceptionally good. These two things are the only even slightly negative aspects. When you consider all the great points about this camera that we've covered in this and my first impressions review, and then think of the price at almost a quarter of the cost of the 1DX, I think Canon are onto a winner here. For many, the 1DX is out of reach, but I honestly don't think you need to be too concerned about that if this is the case for you. If you need a wildlife or sports camera, and you don't want to break the bank, you won't go far wrong with the 7D Mark II. I have both, but I'm sure I'll continue to reach for the 7D Mark II over the 1DX moving forward, unless I need to be literally able to shoot in the dark, which is where the 1DX still has the ultimate edge. Honestly though, the extra reach you get from the crop factor and the higher resolution, among other things, all make the 7D Mark II in many ways the better camera. Either way, I hope you found these reviews useful, and remember, if you buy from our friends at B&H, you can help support the podcast and blog by buying with our links that I've put at the bottom of the blog post. And if you feel like splurging, I also mentioned in last week's podcast the 7D Mark II and Canon's new 100-400mm lens are a match made in heaven, so I'll just go ahead and reuse the widget from last week, just in case. Before we finish, I wanted to let you know that we have started a new fine art print giveaway draw to win a photo from January's Hokkaido Landscape Photography Tour. just visit the page mbp.ac/giveaway and enter your name and email address to subscribe to our newsletter and enter for a chance to win. I'll be drawing the winner on June 14, 2015. And remember, you can enter this draw even if you've entered previous draws, and you won't get like multiple emails or anything silly like that. So thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, please share a link with your friends. And if you don't already, please subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.